There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Farhad Kazombi got in touch with us. He's been first place male costume winner at Zero Gravity since 2012. He spends an average of 10,000 dirhams every year on his costume. If you'd like to check out some of the previous costumes and what he's got planned today, then just go to his Instagram account at Loose Cannon Dubai to find out more. This one's from Finn. Love the show. I wish all the children great fun at Halloween. And for the parents, please reuse or pass on costumes and recycle plastic, as it will affect your children if you don't. That's from Finn. Thank you very much indeed. A lot of other people say, please don't tell us you're going to talk about Halloween all morning long. Worry not, we are not. We are just acknowledging Halloween and taking it a bit further. We will get into the pay-per-view in just a little while. And this one from ACV. I look forward to Halloween every year. It is ultimately a wonderful opportunity for young generations to share in a common interest and express their creativity. Why should that be stopped? Part of the creativity is discovering new ways to recycle and reuse costumes. Is that such a bad thing? I say let this booking continue for years to come, and I am from two different countries that have never celebrated Halloween. Where do you stand when it comes to Halloween? Do you celebrate it? Do you turn your back on it? Or are you like some of our listeners out there who really embrace it? It really is one of those events that seems to, polarize opinions. You're either a lover or a hater. What is Sarah Jones, founder and CEO of Spree, joins us live in studio, not to talk about Halloween for the next hour, but to talk through some of the big stories of the day. But first and foremost, it goes without saying that we have to ask about Halloween. Are you a lover or a hater?
I'm all in for these festivities. I'm like, it brings a bit of excitement to the month of October.
So why are you all in?
I just think it's fun for the kids to be able to dress up. It's an activity. It's a fun festivity that people can get involved with, come together as a community. I think these events are fun, not necessarily because of, you know, some you know, deep dark meaning behind Halloween or something, but just because I think it just provides a nice community get together for everybody to have some fun.
We would like your thoughts. That's why we're encouraging you to have your say. Text us on 40001. But you were saying as well, I mean, here we are banging on about it. We had the business breakfast banging on about it a bit earlier on. I can pretty much guarantee that everyone that comes after us here on Dubai Eye are going to mention it at some point during their show. But you were saying that you haven't seen a huge amount of it this year in terms of visuals.
Well, probably because I haven't got grown-up kids, so I'm not at all the kiddie parties
but
things.
It's interesting that you haven't seen the branding and the advertising. You know, there's usually no shortage of hard sell, is it, when it comes to Halloween?
No, I have to say I haven't seen an awful lot. I mean, I can see the sales that we're making for Halloween costumes, which is always very nice, but I haven't actually seen, I don't look out of my window and see pumpkins on doorsteps and, you know, fake... black hats on poles. Yeah, I haven't seen much of that, but
maybe that's
because I'm
afternoon.
In city centre rather than
maybe that's this afternoon though. Maybe that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next
alive.
Few hours, and then later on today. Because I was just saying to Joe in the handover, you know, that whole idea of the fact that. It's one of those ones that seems to have extended. It's no longer the 31st. It used to be the 31st, didn't it?
You know, just
it
was October one night. Now.
Now it's just, you know, we had Halloween parties all weekend. We've had sort of the build up to Halloween on a Wednesday. It falls on a Wednesday. People are going, oh, you know what? Let's have another Halloween party tonight. And then Georgia telling us that she's got another Halloween party tomorrow as well. So it's been extended almost over an entire week.
I think this is what happens when it's dropped into the middle of the week, the actual Halloween day. It definitely drags for at least two and probably three weekends for some people.
179 million people in the United States will be celebrating Halloween tonight. 7 out of 10 residents here over in the States hand out candy there. $9.1 billion was spent on Halloween in 2017. That's an average spend of $86 per head over in the United States. What is it about Halloween? Why is it that people the world over embrace it with such vigour, spend so much, whether it be 10,000 dirhams on a costume or $86 a head on the celebrations? Let us know your thoughts. Text us on 40001. And it's not all the lovers out there. I think it's only right that we recognise those that don't celebrate Halloween for one reason or another. Henk is one of those. Henk joins us live on the line. Henk, thanks very much indeed for taking time. It is Halloween. Will you be celebrating this evening?
Hi, Tom. No, we don't celebrate it at all. We have our reasons, but it's just another day and we don't do anything special for it.
Why has it got so big? Why has it got so popular?
I don't know. People probably like to get away from normal things, the normal buzz of life, and have some something to let out on.
Yeah.
And like some of the other people mentioned, have some fun, don't need to think about it and so on, and have some fun as a night out. But I see it differently, so I avoid it.
Yeah, I completely respect your opinions and your reasons for not celebrating. Do you find it annoying that it is one of those festivals when people look to embrace others? Is one of those ones you can't easily avoid, especially if you live in a community. It's one of those ones when people are encouraged to knock on your door. Do you find that annoying?
Well, I mean, to me, it's sad that people don't know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Obviously, my children want to know why we're not celebrating it, and I explain it to them, and they understand. I mean, they're a little bit older now, so they understand it. But other people enjoy it, and to each their own.
Yeah.
My wife is a principal at a nursery, and they have Pumpkin Day because they do want, or the children wants to celebrate it, but what the rules are, it's only pumpkin, so orange and black colors, and she's very clear on the costumes. There should no be scary costumes or nothing scary for the children. It should be all fun and smiles. So navigating through that. It is, I won't say it's annoying because we don't get a lot of knocks on our door.
Yeah.
But we just steer clear from it.
Yeah, quite right. Henk, early to bed tonight then, isn't it? Turn the lights off, nice and quiet as well. I'm not going to say happy Halloween to you, Henk. I'm going to say have a happy Wednesday, all right? Have a happy final day of October.
Thank you very much, Tom. Have a good day.
Well done to Henk there. Join us live on the line. It is All Hallows Eve tonight, if we want to get historical. We're not going to talk completely about all things Halloween. We are going to continue with the news review in just a few minutes' time, so stay tuned for that one. Who's liable for accidents caused by driverless vehicles? That's first subject that we will be hitting up, but I just can't avoid it. We've got a competition a little later on with Dubai Fitness Challenge giving you the opportunity to win 500 dirhams to Sun and Sand Sport. I've also got a little bit of Halloween trivia for you as well. A question for you. Which state in the US produces the most pumpkins? Have a little think about that one. I'll give you the figures, which have just been released by the Department of Agriculture over in the United States. They are fairly eye-watering, but which state in the US do you think produces the most pumpkins? No prizes whatsoever for that one. I just want to see who is the clever clogs out there. We've had another one from Kulki out there saying, another point, when and why did Halloween become so popular in the United States? 4001, if you've got any answers for that one. Mark's been in touch saying, look, it's harmless fun, it's all for the children, it offers some uplift during the gloomiest part of the year. It gives people an excuse to dress in costumes. Dressing up in costumes is always fun, but you need a socially acceptable excuse to do it. And it has assumed the role of unofficial kickoff of the pre-shopping season. This, believe it or not, is a real thing. No lie, says Mark. Thank you for that one. Well, somebody who knows about the shopping season is our special guest here in the studio, Sarah Jones, founder and CEO of Spree. All good, well, all good at Spree HQ at the moment?
Spree HQ is buzzing right now.
Yeah.
We've got Black Friday coming up. We've got
Halloween
at the moment. It is end of November.
Okay.
So, yeah, It is, I think people hold out their shopping baskets and wait for the mega deals to come on, which are all very exciting.
And with Prezi's galore towards the end of the year, Christmas, New Year, and all the other celebrations that are going on, are people, unlike me, I leave it to the last minute, but are people starting to plan ahead for that already?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you see the sales kind of dip and then go to kind of astronomical levels where, yeah, people are buying things for, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90% off. And, you know, all the distributors and retailers are, you know, clearing out their stock before Christmas. And yeah, I mean, the deals are quite incredible, I think, across most of the e-commerce sites out here.
Good to know that. And I'm happy that the Spree team are listening in from HQ. Good morning to one and all out there. Do find out. If people want to find out more about Spree, website,
Spree.
Social media.
Spree.com. Everything. Mums online.
Okay. Spree.com. Find yourself there and get more information. We're going to talk more about Halloween. We're going to talk more about the Dubai Fitness Challenge, give you an opportunity to win with Fitness Challenge a little later on. Oh, and that question as well about pumpkins. Just because it's Halloween, which state in the US produces the most pumpkins? Do send in your answers to 4001. And we'll find out who knows the most. Let's go to the news review, though. We've got Sarah until 11:30. So who's liable? Who is liable, Sarah Jones, for accidents caused by driverless vehicles?
Yeah, I quite like this one. You know, I think it's going to become even more prevalent, and these conversations are going to come up more and more over the course of the coming years around the world with driverless vehicles. You know, is it the insurance company, but then who is the insurance company actually insuring? Is it the operator? Is it the manufacturer of these products? You know, when these cars are driving around with no driver in them, who is actually to blame if someone crashes, someone dies, someone gets hurt? I guess it hasn't globally been answered yet, but definitely very, very interesting, and one the insurance companies, I don't think, have quite decided yet which side to sit on.
I suppose they're biding their time a little at the moment because, well, I was going to say that we're a long way away from this becoming a reality, but maybe that's the wrong statement because that technology is moving very quickly at the moment.
Very quickly. I mean, Google already has driverless cars, and I know that there's a few other companies that do as well. They're definitely not mainstream yet, but I think it will definitely be the way of the future, how people are getting around. You know, why would you, have humans, driving and speeding and going through red lights and all these other things when you can have, you know, cars that typically obey by the rules if they're programmed correctly. But then you obviously have this other side, which is, you know, what happens if you know, there's a glitch and something does go wrong.
At the moment, 94% of accidents are caused by driver human error, as was suggested and alluded to there in the Abu Dhabi Emirate. Can those numbers come down? Anything that would make the roads of the UAE a safer place would be a good thing. We were talking accident emergency yesterday, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, it is still RTAs, road traffic accidents, which are the top of the list of fatalities. And it's one of the reasons that's made places like Rashid Hospital a centre of learning, not just for the region, but for the globe at the moment, because of the cases and the frequency of the cases they get there, which is unacceptable.
I think they did a poster, didn't they, which I drove past the other day, which was one day in the year that they hadn't had an accident on Shakespeare.
One day.
Yeah. And maybe that was just an advertising, not an advertising ploy, but a awareness, piece of artwork. Yeah. Yeah, an awareness campaign. But I guess caught my eye on it. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I drive up and down from downtown to JLT every day. And, you know, most days is a bump or a big smash up. And, you know, it's crazy, really.
In conversation with Sarah Jones, we've got the paper review for you today. We're talking entrepreneurs here on the show, young entrepreneurs, investors, meeting here in Dubai. This one's from the Gulf News, Sarah.
It is indeed, yes. Young entrepreneurs and investors are meeting in Dubai. So yes, I liked this one. I remember when we were back in the kind of very, very early days of Spree, and having these forums or these places to meet and show off your products and try and meet investors, I think is incredibly important. So startups aim to attract investors at Arab Youth Startup Marketplace being held at Jumeirah Emirates Towers. Yeah, and it's, you know, where startups coming along, showing their products, having investors, walk around and hopefully get excited by their ventures and, you know, get conversations started to, try to raise their first round of fundraising. And, you know, it's these kind of things, you know, I get asked a lot, you know, how did you guys raise money and, you know, where do you even start with something like this? And, and I think it's these kind of things that Dubai is doing more and more so now, to really kind of get the ecosystem growing and really really get these kind of initial budding entrepreneurs to have a chance at being able to pitch their company and, you know, raise their first bit of seed funding.
From, you know, that you mentioned there, sort of harking back to when you were out and about trying to get the product in front of people, get the idea in front of people, get some funding behind you as well. Has that process been streamlined? Is it more straightforward nowadays, or with more competition in the market, is it less straightforward?
I think fundraising is always hard. I think, you know, the harder slash easier bit when you first start is you're raising smaller sums of money. So technically a little bit easier probably to raise your first $25,000 or $50,000 than raise a $5, $10, $20 million funding round. But then when you, you know, you are raising that first $50,000 or whatever that may be, you are, you know, you have a product that has probably gone live a few weeks, a few months before. You probably haven't got very much traction in the market and people really are trying to believe in you rather than, you know, a really scalable product that you've got a lot of traction on, you know, whereas later down the line, you've obviously got those numbers to show you've, you know, you've built your business, but then you need to carry on showing growth. So I think, you know, it's hard in different respects at different times of, you know, growth of a company and fundraising. But I think that these, you know, I went to one called ArabNet earlier on, which we actually won, which was great, back in 2014. And that really put us on the map with some investors. And I think, you know, that was in Beirut. But I think these, you know, events are similar to that. And I think it does provide, you know, the youth with, you know, something exciting to go to, get feedback, even if they're not raising their millions of dollars at these events. It gives them, you know, a chance to showcase their product that they've built.
The other thing that I hear quite a lot about with regards to entrepreneurism and entrepreneurial spirit and entrepreneurs is the role of mentors as mm-hmm. well, the importance yep. of mentors. Again, is that still the case? Are mentors still key to showing people the ropes, as it were? Or again, is there so much information out there at the moment that you don't really need a mentor?
I think there is a lot of information out there. I think having a mentor is just like having somebody you know, you look up to and you can go to for advice. Yeah. I've never actually had one, but I, on the flip side, have got an amazing network of entrepreneurial friends who I am regularly in touch with, you know, to ask questions, ask, you know, various pieces of advice. So technically, I guess I have a network of mentors that I go to. And likewise, they, you know, will come to me to ask different questions. And I think that that is completely invaluable, especially when you're, you know, in a place like the Middle East, where, you know, tech is slightly, you know, more in its infancy and things are being done for the first time. I think it's really important to have that, not just necessarily support network, but those people you can go to for those questions that you don't know the answer to.
Another story that you picked up on, this one again from our friends at Gulf News, Sarah, and it is with regards to Aramex. They've rolled out a new service. What did you like about this?
Yeah, I thought this was great. You know, we're seeing more and more at Spree that customers, you know, want to interact on WhatsApp. You know, people, it's obviously, I think, you know, now the global number one messaging tool. And, you know, that's where people feel comfortable. They're, you know, speaking on WhatsApp with their friends. They're speaking on WhatsApp. Are you against it, Tom?
Not at all. No, I think it's fascinating how it's evolved that way. It's gone from being
in 4 years.
Yeah, and it's gone from being a real sort of personal, you know, only your contacts and only your close mates and sharing sort of messages with that.
So
just being absolutely. The only reason I say it's weird is because last night I was getting, you know, WhatsApps at 1 o'clock in the morning from different parts of the world, and it's just like, really? I mean, did you not sort of assume that I might be asleep or something like that?
And it's just silent. You pick them up in the morning, Tom.
I know, but it's the first thing you see in the morning, and you just think, I don't know. It just smacks as a little bit impersonal to me.
No, I'm definitely a WhatsApp fan, and I'm definitely all for convenience. And I think these, you know, these companies, these e-commerce sites want to make it as easy as possible to get their updates to their customers. And logistics companies, you know, WhatsApp's just launched WhatsApp for Business, which is super exciting, and will allow, you know, companies like us at Spree and obviously like Aramex to be able to roll out these various updates. So you can, you know, track everything within one app, and you're not just getting an SMS where you then need to kind of click on a phone number and call somebody back and go back through to a customer service line and then have to speak to somebody again. You can just interact straight on there, and I think that is really going to, you know, radicalize, if that's a word, how you know, how consumers are updated on their packages, on their orders, etc. So for us, super, super exciting.
Sarah's with us for the next 10 minutes or so. So let's get to a few more of these stories that have caught your eye, Sarah Jones, and let's go to Facebook. They are overhauling yet again.
I just think Facebook Messenger just hasn't really got it. I never use it. I'm intrigued to meet somebody and speak to somebody who does use it as their messaging tool. I know that most of the world is using WhatsApp, and I'm struggling to understand the point of WhatsApp Messenger, to be quite honest with you. Now they've announced that they are overhauling it because it got too complicated and they now need to simplify it. And I'm just thinking, who's using this in the first place and what are you using it for? I think they're trying to go down the route of, you know, trying to be more like WeChat with their games and their, you know, business tools and all the rest of it. But yeah, I'm all for new technologies and making things easier, but I do just find it just makes everything more complicated.
Joe, Matt, do you use it?
Well, I'm just looking at it now, and I think the main use for it here is when people are selling things secondhand within groups.
Fine.
And they'll say, PM me, message me privately so that you're not...
But you don't want to go out of Facebook.
No, but you can do that within Facebook, though, or you can have the messenger on
your
phone. Yeah,
but the separate messenger app is a totally separate app, and that's what I don't get. Keep it within Facebook so you can just quickly PM somebody, but you don't, you leave it and go back.
No, this is completely separate because I don't have Facebook on my phone, but I do have the Messenger app on my phone because I don't have social media on my phone, but I do have the Messenger app.
Ah, interesting.
So I do.
Okay, fine. So maybe you found the one use for it then.
But the way around.
Basically, they have launched Facebook messaging app to sell secondhand things on your iPhone.
I'll tell you the thing that I don't get. I don't know what, I haven't got a clue, a Scooby, what either of you are talking about at the moment with your MPs and PMs and la 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 and all that sort of stuff. I don't get what you're talking about. But what does surprise me is a company, an institution, a brand such as Facebook. It's interesting how wrong they've got it, because they seem to get everything else right.
I know. Well, mind you, Facebook's going down a bit as well, isn't it? So I'm not sure how much they're getting that right at the moment, but... I don't know. I've never got Facebook Messenger. I feel like they had an audience. They could have launched something really neat, and they just haven't really made it work. And now they're having to overhaul it for the second time and simplify it. And
Let's go to e-commerce now. One thing that you know a huge amount about it is your bread and butter. And again, another story from Gulf News, one that caught your attention. Retailers need to tweak online experiences for customers. Why?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the retailers are out there are, you know, the shops that you would see in Dubai Mall or Mall of the Emirates are realizing that they can't just, you know, have said t-shirt in the shop and expect a customer to come in and necessarily purchase it. They need to have other ways of shopping, other ways of creating that experience for the customer, ease, you know, convenience, free delivery, you know, and consumers aren't going so much to the physical malls to buy these products. And even if they are, they quite want to be able to browse before they go to the shops to see, you know, what the price is or what this may be. And I think retailers are more and more realizing they are needing to launch, you know, their own e-commerce sites, their own e-commerce experiences for their customers so that it's not just a physical bricks and mortar store.
So Mohamed Alabar was in the studio at the beginning of this week. He was here on Sunday. He was here in the building with the big launch for the big sale in November for Noon. I think it's 20th to the 24th or something like that. And obviously, a lot of the Noon is on something of a push at the moment in terms of the brand and getting the message across, etc. One of his messages during his conversation with the Business Breakfast team was the fact that the thing he's proudest about is not so much the development of the brand per se and setting up here, but forcing the competition to bring their prices down a shade as well, because he thought that they had a bit of a monopoly before that. Now that there are more competitors in the market for that multi e-commerce selling platforms, it was able to create a bit more of a level playing field. Is that a fair assumption, do you think?
I'm not as close to what the prices on Noon are versus Souq, but I think in any market, you know, when you've got more competition, you know, naturally people have to be more on the ball in terms of pricing, in terms of merchandising, in terms of, you know, what type of products are selling. So I think it's extremely good for any market to have, you know, more of these players come in. I always get asked, you know, what about Amazon entering the region and Noon? And I always say it's fantastic. You know, the main problem out here that any e-commerce sites have is that people's first point of call isn't to go to an online site because they don't know if it's going to exist online, and therefore they feel more comfortable just going to the mall. You know, in the UK, if I wanted to buy a roll of sellotape or a roll of wrapping paper, my first thing would just be to go online. And the main difference here is people don't go online as their first step. They go to the mall, and if they can't find it on the mall, they go online. So all of these big new e-com sites or any new e-commerce sites are actually training the region check it out online, see if it's available online. And that gives us at Spree, for instance, the opportunity to then acquire that customer. So so yes, I'm a big big supporter of all these new sites coming on board.
E-commerce is obviously working. Just from a personal example, Shayak, every time I go back home, there is a mountain of boxes outside the house, which attest to the fact that the delivery man has been yet again for this, that or t'other. With that in mind, if I'm just a microcosm of a much larger development here with regards to the popularity of e-commerce, why are we building more malls?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, consumers definitely out here like to restaurants and the malls like to have the activities. But in terms of the physical shops, I read the other day, actually, it was one of the articles I was going to send through that Nike was launching its biggest ever global shop in my mall. And, you know, maybe these are showcases for these brands to, you know, have the biggest Apple shop or have the biggest Nike shop or whatever that may be. But in terms of actually retail and consumer spending in these shops, I simply don't know how the unit economics work in terms of paying for rent with said sales, I have to say.
So I did an event a couple of weeks ago, Retail Me, Images Retail Me event, and there was brought together a number of retailers, bricks and mortar and e-commerce from across the region, things like that. What are the elements to come out of that? And they had mall developers on the forum and doing the bits and pieces, was the fact that one of the trends they're seeing, and again, I don't know if it's right, but maybe you can shed some light, is that they're seeing more and more traditional bricks and mortar shop-based businesses going online, and yet more and more e-commerce sites looking for bricks and mortar stores to further expand their empires as well. Is that a trend that's happening at the moment?
I definitely haven't heard of the online ones going into the offline. I mean, yes, there's different e-com sites out here that maybe have pickup points, physical pickup points for your packages, but no, I think the trend is very much the other way with, yeah, you know, these physical retail stores realizing that they need to either work with platforms like ourselves or launch their own e-commerce. And I think, you know, that is absolutely critical. You know, these consumers are becoming more and more savvy and want to shop online.
You happy with your online deliveries at the moment?
Well, I was just reflecting on stores closing. And of course, Debenhams announced this week their record annual losses within the UK of £491 million, and they are closing 50 stores. Mm. And again, it's the high street is crumbling around us. So I think it's exciting times ahead, to be honest, to
totally
see
agree.
How it changes and how it does all, how the high street and our general physical shopping experience will change.
Yep, totally agree.
Look, we're going to let you go. I know you're busy, busy, busy. You've got to get your costume ready for you're not going to Halloween party tomorrow.
I'm not going to Halloween party.
No? Okay.
I'll sell the costumes.
Costume. Are there a few available on Spree? Are there?
Definitely lots available
on
Spree. Yeah, it's one
What's
of our biggest seller at the moment.
What's the favourite out there?
Oh, we've got pumpkins, witches, everything you can imagine.
Have a little look at spree.com. Is that where people need to go to find out more, Sarah?
Definitely, spree.com. Everything for mums online delivered to your door.
Great stuff. Thank you so much indeed for your time this morning. Have yourself a lovely day. Have yourself a lovely week. Nice to catch up with you.
Thank you very much for having me down here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.